Let's get to our guest. William Curtine is with us. He is portfolio manager at Milford Asset Management from Auckland, New Zealand. William, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for being with us. I couldn't help but notice that the NASDAQ 100 was the worst performing of the major U.S. indices in 2022, 33% down. And if you look at it in terms of market capitalization, about $6.5 trillion worth of value simply evaporated. Is 2023 going to be a similar story, do you think?
Well, we'll see. I mean, if you look at the factors that drove the technology downturn, we think there's a valuation bubble, rising interest rates. Certainly, we're part of the popping of that valuation bubble. But we think weakness in the final month of the year, where the NASDAQ and the technology stocks continue to be very weak all the way into the end of the year, compared to other sectors, was probably exacerbated by a tax selling effect, where US retail investors have their tax year end at the end of December. They've lost a lot of money on these technology stocks. So by selling and realizing some of these losses at the end of the year, they can save themselves a bit of a tax credit and save themselves some tax bill heading into the new year. So we're really interested to see how they trade this week now that we're into the new year and we don't have that tax motivated selling.
William, when you look at New Zealand, for instance, I mean, you can see that the Reserve Bank there, certainly basically every commentator said how ahead of the curve they were in terms of tightening monetary policy. So does that give you any insight, essentially, as to, you know, what the Fed's doing and what markets are doing and whether everything's been priced in yet?
It does a little bit. I mean, we, over here in New Zealand, we're one of the first major central banks to raise interest rates. We believe this year will be one of the first major developed world central banks to cut interest rates. And that's because, you know, just anecdotally, looking around, talking to people you know, the market and the economy will not handle mortgage rates at 6.5-7% where they are today. So we believe they're intentionally driving the economy into recession that will bring down inflation. As that recession begins, as the weakness in economic pain really begins, then they'll start walking interest rates back with that inflation. And that, we do think, is a precursor for what will happen to other nations that are actually hiking interest rates reasonably aggressively, the main one obviously being the United States itself, which is still one of the more hawkish developed world nations out there. There's a little bit of a lag effect of when those high interest rates will hit. The consumers in the US, given the nature of the 30-year fixed mortgages in that nation, but ultimately it will bite. We do think it bites sort of later in the year in the US compared to New Zealand, where we think the pain will very much begin to be felt in a big way this current quarter.
So I think we can agree that the big story from the last month for the Pacific Rim has been this dramatic, this abrupt reversal of China's COVID zero policy. And over the weekend, the data, the PMI data that we had for China showed a real contraction in economic activity. What's the knock-on effect for New Zealand? Give me a sense of how the land where you are has been impacted by all of this.
China is just such a huge trade partner for New Zealand and also for Australia, our neighbour over here. With that slowing China's economy, it can have a little bit of effect on the milk consumption, which is New Zealand's main export, but also New Zealand exports a lot of timber over to China, and the property sector in China has been in the doldrums. So we're experiencing weakness in that sense. And the neighbour next door in Australia is the largest exporter of iron ore in the world, which sends a lot of it into China, into the steel industry. So there is weakness on the ground, but I would say that's countered by a lot of optimism. The market and the participants are very keen to look through this current weakness. People are saying, we're not surprised that the data coming out is terrible, but we're looking forward to the rosy future as the COVID wave ends and the economy gets back to a reopening and a fast growing. At Milford, we think the market may be a little bit overestimating how big the boom is afterwards. We do think a lot of the weakness in China's economy has been structural, and it's driven by economic policy, not just by COVID. So we do see room for actually a little bit of a disappointment in how strong this reopening boom is going to be once China is through this COVID wave.
Well, but also tell me here as well, William, I mean, the thing is, it is definitely going to see some pent-up demand, at least. And can, so, in a way, China perhaps drag the global economy up again?
The consumer side, well, we think there is going to be a decent amount of pent-up demand. So we, and then even on the oil consumption side, which obviously during COVID with low mobility, you will see a decent amount of pent-up demand. So I think for certain consumer stocks exposed to China, there'll be a decent reopening boom. And we think for certain commodities, particularly energy commodities like oil, there'll be a reopening boom. But we're not big believers that this is going to massively move the dial for a global economic sense for one reason, and that we do think that there's still an intentional slowing of the Chinese property market that goes beyond the COVID effects that's aimed at reallocating the Chinese economy from fixed infrastructure and fixed property investment to manufacturing and high-end. That continues beyond the reopening wave. And secondly, we do think, it's the IMF has been saying in the last couple of days that a lot of countries around the world will see quickly slowing growth and into recessions this year. And that's going to mean the overall global economic situation is quite poor.
I'd like to get your take on what's going on in Japan. There's been a pretty dramatic reversal from the BOJ. And the Nikkei is today reporting that the Bank of Japan is intending to boost its inflation projections later this month. Have we seen some type of inflection point in the inflation story in Japan?
Oh, absolutely. No, we think it's sort of got to a point. It's been causing issues. Obviously, on the ground, with many consumers struggling with inflation, various import export businesses not handling the quick changes in the interest rate and exchange rates very well, and it's causing a slow change in policy. So obviously, they've only done very marginal changes so far, but it's sort of a window has been opened for more tweaks to the yield curve cap that they're running. The market is sort of anticipating that they will eventually keep sliding these yield curve caps, and that's sort of having an impact on exchange rates. That may eventually cool off some of the inflation pressures that are coming. But as we've seen in the rest of the world, when inflation begins, it gathers up quite a head of steam. And the lag of changing policy to impacting inflation appears to be over 12 months. So it can cause a bit of issues if you get behind the curve. It can take quite a lot of adjustments in your financial levers to get back ahead of the curve again. And what we'll be interested in with Japan this year is how they react to inflation pressures continue to accelerate while they're moving their yield curve or interest rate caps higher.
William, you've got, I think, an unusually high 40% of your portfolio in cash. When do you start getting out of cash? And what will you go into and when?
Well, we've marginally invested some of that cash at the very end of this year with the markets coming down. Generally, they were chopping lower into Christmas and a little bit chop lower between Christmas and New Year's. So we took that opportunity to invest a little bit of the cash. But the cash level overall remains higher. On a medium-term view, our view for the year is that we will have recessions in most developed world nations. That will mean that eventually longer-term interest rates can stabilize and come down a little bit. We kind of think more like 3.5% on the 10-year for the US as a fair value. It means from an equity point of view, we're looking to run tactically higher cash for the first half of this year, position in defenses like staples, communications companies, utilities, and avoid the economically sensitive cyclical sectors. If we're right in the recession and the wicked growth pays out, it'll be a fairly nasty couple of quarters for earnings coming up, and that provides the real opportunity to set up that generational buying opportunity and picking up some of these companies. So
we'll have to wait and see what happens. Happy New Year to you, William. William Curtine, Portfolio Manager at Milford Asset Management, joining us from Auckland, New Zealand here on DBA.